إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل أخرج الإمام مسلم رحمه الله تعالى عن أبي مسعود الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم قال: إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. The companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, he said in an authentic hadith as been collected by Imam Muslim, from the kalam, from the speech, that the communities that came before us, all of the nations, from the kalam that the Prophet said to their people, from the kalam of al-Nabuwa, all of the Anbiya, without an exception, they said to their people, if you fear no shyness, if you have no haya, then do what you want to do. This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from his Jawami' al-Kalam. It can be understood in multiple ways. Whichever way is the correct understanding, it's all important. One of the ways that the hadith could be understood is, if you are a person who has al-Iman, you are a person who was born a Muslim, raised a Muslim, cultivated as a Muslim, and your fitrah has not been poisoned and adulterated and contaminated. If you are a muttaqi, and you worry about the halal and haram, and pleasing Allah and displeasing Allah, if you want to do something and you're not sure, should you do it or should you not do it? Is it acceptable or unacceptable? If you're one of those people, you're a muttaqi, you're from the salihin, then all you have to do is check your heart to see whether or not you have haya. If you are shy about doing that thing, then don't do it. And if you're not shy, then go ahead and do it under the condition that you have taqwa. That's one way of understanding the hadith. You want to do something, and you have iman, and you are a serious Muslim, and you're not sure, should I do it, should I not do it? Then check. If you have haya about doing that thing, then leave it. If you feel comfortable with it, then go ahead and do it. But that is for the overwhelming minority of people that understand. Because the majority of the people, their fitrah has been contaminated. They are not from the muttaqeen. So the second possible interpretation applies. The second interpretation is, if a person doesn't have shyness, then he's going to do whatever he wants to do. If a person has become an individual where he does not have haya in his life, then he's going to do whatever he wants to do. Because the haya, the shyness, will prevent him from doing what is unacceptable. And this is the interpretation that applies to the majority of the people. The one who does not have haya, he eats what he wants to eat, he marries who he wants to marry, he behaves the way he wants to behave because he has no haya. He will divorce his wife have children by that lady, not take care of his children because he has no hayat. Had he had hayat, he would have done what was his obligation. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is from his Jawami' al-Kalam, ikhwan, it shows the importance of al-hayat. And it shows that al-hayat, or having shyness, is not a characteristic that is peculiar to the woman or the women. But every single Muslim man has to have an abundant amount of hayat. If he doesn't have hayat, there's going to be some problems with his iman. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said that one of the companions was rebuking another man because of his hayat. The man was shy. He was embarrassed the way he carried himself. So the other companion was telling him, be stronger than that. Be a man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw and witnessed what was taking place. And he said to the one who was rebuking his brother, Dahu, فَإِنَّ الْحَيَاءُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Leave that man alone and stop saying that to him, because al-hayat is from faith. He said sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, al-hayat la ya'ti illa bi khayr. Having hayat, it doesn't do anything except bring what is beneficial. It brings what is good. So it is a foreign concept, a misunderstanding, for the man who's a Muslim to believe that having hayat is peculiar to the women. No, instead, he told us sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, al-hayau shu'batu min al-iman. Faith is 70 something branches. The highest branch is the kalimat al-tawheed, knowing that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah azza wa jal. Only Allah deserves to be worshipped. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not deserve to be worshipped or called on. That is the highest branch of al-iman. And the lowest branch is picking up something harmful out of the way, so it does not harm the Muslims, doesn't harm the people. And between that and that, al-hayat is somewhere in there. It is a branch of faith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu described our Prophet and our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the Imam of the Rijal, and he was the Imam of the Mujahideen, and he was from the people who were the strongest in their personality and in their power and their ability to prove what a man really is. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد حياء من الأذراء في خدرها. رسول الله, he was more shy. He was more shy than the virgin girl who is in the inner recesses of her home, where she can't be accessed or seen. She's shy in that place. He was more shy than that. So that is a clear proof of the importance of al-hayat. And it is a clear proof that al-hayat is for you and it's for me. If anyone doubts or he's wondering about the importance of al-hayat, then all he has to do is become aware of the hadith of our mother Umm Abdullah al-Humayra bintu Siddiq radiallahu anhuma. Aisha, she said in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam Muslim, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sought permission by knocking. Rasulullah said, let him in, while he was lying down resting. And then Umar came, because it was always the case. Ja'a Abu Bakr, thumma ja'a Umar. Dhahaba Abu Bakr, thumma dhahaba Umar. Abu Bakr came and then Umar. Abu Bakr went and then Umar. I believe, and Umar and Abu Bakr believe. So we say, how is it possible that there are some people who claim to be on this religion, in this religion, and they hate Abu Bakr and Umar? After Abu Bakr was allowed to come in, Umar came. and he sought permission. Rasulullah said, let him come in. And he remained on his side. And then Uthman ibn Affan came in, sought permission. Before allowing him in, Rasulullah sat up. And then he was given permission and he came in. When they left, Aisha radiallahu anha, being the talibatul ilm, being the one when she saw the sunnah, when she knew about the hadith, she wanted to have istifsar. She wanted to know more. Not like the Muslims today. Not like the Muslims who don't know their religion, don't ask, don't read, don't come out to get knowledge. She wanted to know, Ya Rasulullah, I want to know about every detail as it relates to you, as it relates to your companion. When my father Abu Bakr came and Umar came, you remained sitting. And then when Uthman came, you said something different. Is there different about your sunnah here? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala astahi min rajulin tastahi minhu al-malaikatu. Should I not be shy, ya Aisha, of a man who the angels are shy of him? So all of the anbiya have haya. All of the anbiya called their people to al-haya. The imam of the anbiya had haya more than the virgin girl in the inner recesses of our home. And the malaika had haya. The malaika are shy to see one of us with a woman who isn't halal for us. The malaika are shy to see one of us in a place that Allah has made haram. It is not easy for them. When no one else sees you, they see you and they have haya. So the malaika have haya. And the righteous men from the aqliya, from the agniya, like Uthman radiallahu anhu, they have al-haya. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-haya'u min al-iman, wa ahya ummati Uthman. Al-haya is from faith. And the person from this ummah who has the most haya is Uthman radiallahu anhu. Ikhwani, Uthman has a nickname, and his nickname is Dhu Nurayn, the possessor of the two lights. He is the only companion who married two of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one else has that khafifa. Is it strange? Is there any istighraq in the fact that the man who has the most haya is ahlan li an yatazawwaj bintay Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's only befitting that the man who has the most haya from this ummah is the one who marries two of the daughters of the Khatim of the Anbiya and the Mursaleen. So those of you who are the awliya of your daughters, or that sister who's looking to get married, you look for the man who has haya. The man who wants to get married, he looks for the woman who has haya. It is from the deen. If the man's haya is problematic, then his iman is going to be problematic. If anyone is still in doubt as to the virtues of you and you and you and myself having the khuluq of al-haya, at the same time having rujula, the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a tremendous hadith, قال صلوات الله وسلامه عليه إن الله حي كريم يستحي أن يرفع الرجل إليه يديه فيردهما صفرا خائبتين. Verily Allah Azza wa Jal is shy. He has haya. And Allah is kareem, generous. Allah has haya for a person to raise his hands to him in the dua. Ask Allah for what you want with your hands raised up. Allah is shy not to give you what you're asking for. So he is, tabarak wa ta'ala, one who possesses haya. But his haya is complete and perfect. And his haya is not like the haya of the human being. It is a way that befits his majesty. The point is, Allah ta'ala, and the malaika, and the anbiya, and the rasul of this religion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the righteous people from this religion, they have al-haya. It is worthy of cultivating it in our lives. He said in another authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٍّ سَتِير يُحِبُّ الْحَيَاءَ وَالْسَّتَرَ فَإِذَا اسْتَتَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَتِرْ. Verily Allah has haya, He is hayy, He has haya, and Allah is satir, He covers. And Allah loves shyness, and He loves the covering. He loves that you cover up your faults. He loves that you cover up yourself. He loves that you cover up the secrets of the Muslims. So if anyone takes the ghusl, if anyone bathes himself, then let him cover himself. Allah loves that you cover yourself, that you do not take off your clothes and expose yourself unnecessarily like the kuffar. Even by yourself, the malaika have haya. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has haya in a way that befits His Majesty Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So no one should be in doubt as it relates to the importance of the issue of al-haya. When we talk about al-haya, many people, they may think, as we mentioned, mistakenly so, that al-haya is only for the woman. After we have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that al-haya is for every Muslim man, the more taqwa you have, the more haya. The less haya you have, the less taqwa. But as it relates to the woman in al-Islam, she should have a lot of haya. What is wrong with the Muslim woman today? Your sister, your mother, your aunt, who doesn't wear hijab. It's not because she's a bad woman even. She respects her father. She respects her brother. She is not a person who is given to lewdness, but her fitrah has been corrupted. So she thinks it's okay to go out in the street in order to make a living. Her haya is not there. It's been corrupted. So therefore she does what she wants to do. The Muslim woman, more than anyone, it is her nature to have haya. Or why would Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had more haya than the virgin girl? Why that muqarana? Why did he compare to the virgin girl? When the Prophet came and he wanted to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explain to the community about the etiquette of getting married, he said, "As-sayyibu ahaqqu bi nafsiha min waliyiha wal-batru," to step them. The woman who has been married before, in Islam or outside of Islam, she is a widower, her husband died or she's been divorced, that woman has more rights over herself than her wali. A proof she'll always have a wali. Even if she's been married before, she still has a wali. After getting divorced, after losing her husband. When she wants to look into marrying a new man, her brother, her father, no one can force her. She has more rights over herself because she is a sayyid. And the virgin girl, her permission must be sought. The father should not force the girl to marry her cousin without asking her. When Aisha heard this, radiallahu anha, she said, "Ya Rasulullah, walakin al-bikra tastahi." Ya Rasulullah, the virgin girl, she's going to be shot. The virgin girl from the companions, when the father, when the mother brings to her the idea of getting married, she's going to be shy to say, "Okay, I accept." They had haya. Today, the virgin girl, today the Muslim girl, she gets on the internet on her own and she has relationships with men who are not halal for her. Men in this masjid, they talk to each other. It's not from the religion of Al-Islam. The companion had haya. He did not allow himself to have that discussion. And she especially wouldn't allow that discussion. She's shy just to be asked the question. "So and so, we want to marry you to Fulan." She's shy. She may remain silent. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ibnuha samtuha." If she remains silent out of shyness, then that is her consent. So the Muslim woman has to have more haya than everyone. Nothing should be seen of her except her face and her hand. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentioned this issue with clarity. For those people who read the book of Allah, for those people who do not wait until the month of Ramadan
to connect themselves to the Quran.
Ya Ummat al-Islam, should not we be shy? Shouldn't we be shy that the last time you read the Quran seriously was last Ramadan? Shouldn't we be shy that here, with the GCSE, the results coming out, our children, they perform the worst, they're the underachievers. Shouldn't we be shy that our masjid right here is not supported the way the Christians and the Jews support their churches? That you come in week in and you leave every week in and out without giving so much as £1. Shouldn't you be shy?
إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسِ مِنْ كَلَامِ النَّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَهِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ.
So Allah mentioned as it relates to the woman in Al-Islam.
Musa, salawatullahi wa salamuhu,
after being in Egypt, and after defending the man from his group, from his tribe, from Bani Israel, and after hitting the enemy to Musa and to the Bani Israel, Musa escaped from Fir'aun and from Egypt, looking for the rahmah of Allah, looking for the hidayah of Allah, looking for the nasr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He came upon two women. He came upon two women who were the daughters of a righteous man mentioned in the Quran. When he came upon them, he saw that there were a group of men watering their animals, and the two ladies remained behind. The two ladies remained on the side with their animals. He asked them, "Ma khatbukuma? What's your situation? What's wrong with you two? You're standing over here." They said, "Our father is a sheikh in Kabir. Our father is old, and we are forced to water his animals. But the men are there, and we're waiting for them." Because the Muslim woman has haya. She may be compelled to work like these two women were compelled. The father, who's a righteous man in the Quran, he's old. He can't water his own animals. So his two daughters are forced. But they have a problem. Even though they are forced to work, they do not willingly mix with men. They do not touch men and shake their hands. They do not go out for dinner, business dinners with men. They have haya. Musa, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi wa ala nabiyyina, he gave their water, their animals to drink. Allah mentioned in the Quran, فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءٍ قَالَتْ إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيُجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا. So one of the women, after Musa gave their animals to drink, and he went off looking for the rahmah of Allah, one of the women came, Allah said, walking with shyness. She was walking with shyness, as the Quran mentioned, the nature of the woman. She said to him, "My father is calling you. He wants to reward you for giving our animals to drink." So Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that in the Quran. Umar radiallahu anhu,
Al-Faruq, the man who had jira for his wife, the man who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a dream that he was in Jannah and he saw a castle. On the side of the castle were some women making wudu.
Rasulullah asked those women, "Whose castle is this?" They said, "Umar." Rasulullah turned around and ran away. He told the companions about the dream.
Umar said, "Ya Rasulullah, why did you run away from my castle? Why didn't you go into my castle to see what I had? Why did you run away?"
He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Dhakartu ghiratik ya Umar. I remember your ghira in the dunya.
I remember that you would cut a man's head off for your wife or your daughter."
But the Muslim man today, he doesn't cultivate haya in his daughter. She's young, and he allows her to wear a dress shorter than this kameez that I have on. She's 18, 19, 20, 21, 25, 30, married, unmarried. He cannot say to her, "Ya bint, wear some clothes. I have jealousy for you." Al-haya, especially for the woman.
Umar radiallahu anhu, in the Musannaf of Al-Iman, Ibn Abi Shayba rahimahullahu ta'ala, Umar said, the meaning of this haya, in an authentic asr, he said the meaning of this haya of this woman was, she came and she did not have jara'ah. And she came with a niqab. He described the coming of that shy lady as one who was not rough and tough. She didn't have an hujum with the men.
The Muslim woman, she wants to go to pay a bill.
She jumps out at the men.
And her husband is right there. She doesn't give him a chance to talk.
She jumps out.
And she has some, that's a jara'a. And she had her face covered. That's the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu.
Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam,
Al-Haya is from Al-Iman. Whoever doesn't have Haya, or his Haya is deficient, according to the level of deficiency, is going to determine the level of his Iman. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى التَّوْفِيقَ وَالسَّدَادَ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى أصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. A few very quick points as it relates to al-haya, so you don't misunderstand. There is two very important sunan from the sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that many people are mutakathirun, mutahawinun in it. وصدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الإسلام بدأ غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ فطوبى للغرباء. Al-Islam started strange, is going to return strange. So Jannah, Tuba for the stranger. The Muslim is gharib as it relates to the kuffar that he lives around. They can do anything that they want and he can't. The Sunni, the person on the Sunnah, is gharib as it relates to the other Muslims who are in deviation. The Muslim who wants to make dua to Rasulullah, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, that person says about the Sunni, you don't love Rasulullah, Ajib. And the Salafi is gharib with the Salafiyin. When he says, this is taqlid and this is hizbiyah, it said to him, you don't love the ulama because this is ittiba. إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. From the strange thing is that the one who is Salafi, the one who is Salafi, he doesn't know about this particular sunnah as it relates to al-haya. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for those of you who have ghira, for those of you who want to cultivate your women, your daughters, your wives, your family, upon this concept, practice this sunnah. He said, صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَّلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ سِتْرُ مَا بَيْنَ أَعْيُنُ الْجِنِّ وَعَوْرَاتِ بَنِي آدَمُ إِذَا وَضَعَ أَحَدَهُمْ ثَوْبَهُ وَنْ يَقُولْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. The sitra, the partition, the hijab, that is between a man when he takes off his robe and the eyes of Bani Adam. The eyes of the jinn. The jinn who are around who you don't see them. They can see you, you can't see them. If you want to cover up your aura, when you take off your clothes, say, Bismillah. Bismillah. The ism of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah, will prevent the jinn from seeing your aura. Will prevent the jinn from seeing the aura of your women. We only have ghira as it relates to each other, to men. How would you feel that someone sees the aura of your wife from the people in the masjid? Not acceptable. The aura of your wife. How do you feel? Well, the same way is the feeling and the shu'ur of the Muslim man as it relates to the jinn. So he teaches his wife and he says for himself, Bismillah, because the jinn cannot move that, reach that cover because you said the name of Allah. Another sunnah that's important as it relates to our awrat, as it relates to our ghira, as it relates to our hayat, is that he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, سَتْرُ بَيْنَ أَعْيُنُ الْجِنِّ وَأَوْرَاتِ بَنِي آدَمُ إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحْدُهُمَ الْخَلَىٰ أَنْ يَقُولَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. The thing that will prevent the jinn from seeing the awrat of Bani Adam is when one of them goes inside of the bathroom, he says, Bismillah. These are issues we should teach our family. And not be mutasahilun, mutakatilun, mutahawinun. Easy and lackadaisical as it relates to these etiquettes of Al-Islam. The cultivation of Al-Islam.
Also, ikhwan, as it relates to al-haya, al-haya has its virtues, but it has its proper place, and it has its improper place. As it relates to knowledge, you shouldn't have al-haya. As it relates to knowledge, you shouldn't be shy. The people who are here who are from the people of knowledge, you should bring your issues and you should come out to try to learn with jara'ah, that is muhazzaba, with respect, but you shouldn't have haya. Aisha radiallahu anha qalat rahimallahu nisa al-ansar. Ma mana'ahunna al-haya'u an yata'allamna fi al-deen. May Allah have mercy upon the Ansar women. Shyness did not prevent them from learning their religion. Those sensitive issues that women need to know. They used to come and ask, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? Does a woman do this? Does a woman have that? The tabi'in, from the ulama of the tabi'in, Mujahid, rahimahullah ta'ala, as al-imam al-Bukhari narrated in his book, Kitab al-Ilm, in Sahih Bukhari, قال, لا يتعلم مستحيي ولا متكبر. Two people will not learn. The one who is shy and the one who is arrogant. The one who is arrogant, he thinks he knows everything. He's not going to ask questions. He hates to be seen as being one who doesn't know. He thinks he knows everything, so he'll never get educated. Thinks he knows everything. As for the one who is shy, he's afraid of asking, so he remains ignorant. The one who is shy as it relates to knowledge, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was talking to the people, one man came, he came to the majlis, and he walked away. He turned away. He turned away. He was arrogant. The second man came, he saw the majlis, and it was an opportunity to come up, but he was shy. He was shy to come through, to get in the front. So he sat back there. The third man, he came to the majlis. He saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a thirst for the knowledge. He wanted to know. He said, forget these people. He walked all the way up and found a place and sat right there. That one who came all the way up there, he turned to Allah. Allah turned to him. The arrogant one who turned away, Allah turned away from him in a way that befits his majesty. And the one who was shy, istahya min Allah, fastahya Allahu minhu. He was shy of Allah, and Allah was shy of him. Lastly, ikhwan, there is no haya when you order with the ma'roof and you stop the munkar. There is no haya. That's weakness when you are afraid to tell someone, this is wrong, this is right. It is not haya to be ajiz, incapable of telling your wife or your mother or your auntie, of telling your Muslim brother, this is correct, that's incorrect. This haya is weakness, is cowardice. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, لا يمنع أن رجلا هيبة الناس أن يقول بحق إذا علمه أو شهده أو سمعه. Do not let any of you, do not let the fear of another man, do not let the fear and the censorship of people, don't allow it to make you afraid of saying the truth if you know the truth, or if you witnessed the truth, or if you heard the truth. He was more shy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, than a virgin girl, but despite that, he used to tell his wife, these pictures will cause you to be punished in the hellfire. He would tell his companion, you can't wear that. He would take the sword of jihad and the ruh of the jihad and go out and defend the religion. And it's hayat. At this point, it didn't come into play. Because that's not hayat. That's being afraid. So brothers and sisters in al-Islam, al-hayau al-hayat. Let us cultivate the hayat. Isn't it worthy of having shyness? If you are a Muslim who only comes to Jummah, that's the only time you come to the masjid, that's a just cause of being haya, having al-hayat. Finally, we ask all of you that you give generously to the masjid and that you support the efforts of the masjid, inshaAllah ta'ala, because we're in need of your help to bring these services to you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who are truthful in word and deed, and that He establishes our feet firmly upon the kitab and the sunnah according to the salaf and the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.